present The Little Sister by Raymond Chandler, dramatized in three parts by Bill Morrison, starring Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe, with Toby Robbins, Margaret Robertson, and Liza Ross. The Little Sister, Part 1. California, 1947.
It was one of those clear, bright summer mornings we get in the early spring in California before the high fog sets in. The first stores are advertising their annual sales. The call houses that specialize in 16-year-old virgins are doing a land office business. And in Beverly Hills, the jacaranda trees are beginning to bloom. I was in my reasonably shabby office at the end of a reasonably shabby corridor, in the sort of building that was new about the year the all-tile bathroom became the basis of civilization. No customers, nobody but me. And a big blue-bottle fly. I had been stalking that fly for 5 minutes, waiting for him to sit down. He didn't want to. He just wanted to do wingovers and sing the prologue to Pagliacci. I had the fly swatter poised. I was all set. This was my big chance.
Mr. Philip Marlowe, the detective?
Close the door.
I beg your pardon?
Forget it, sister. He's gone.
Who?
I don't like killing anyway.
Shall I close it now?
Why not? Sit down and tell me your troubles. I take it you have got troubles.
How much do you charge, Mr. Marlowe?
Oh, what was it you wanted done?
It's very confidential.
$40 a day in expenses.
That's far too much. I only get a small salary.
Doing what?
Working for Dr. Zugsmith. I'm his receptionist.
Hey, how is the old boy? I haven't seen him since that time I fell off the garage roof.
Why, surely you can't know Dr. Zugsmith.
Dr. George Zugsmith, Santa Rosa.
Oh, no. This is Dr. Alfred Zugsmith in Manhattan. Manhattan, Kansas, that is, not New York.
Must be a different Dr. Zugsmith. And your name?
I'm not sure I'd care to tell you.
Oh, just window shopping.
If I have to tell my family affairs to a total stranger, I have to know if he's a person I could trust.
Anybody ever tell you you're a cute little trick?
I should hope not.
You just need to brighten it up a bit. Put on some makeup. That hat was taken from its mother too young. Let your hair loose. And get a new pair of glasses. Those ones with the slinky rims.
Dr. Zugsmith wouldn't permit it.
What's your name? Look, you've already told me enough about yourself for me to find out your whole family history.
Why should you want to do that?
I don't. Now, shall we get down to business? Why did you come to me?
I picked your name out of the phone book. It was 7 and 13.
What?
Marlowe has 7 letters, and Philip Marlowe has 13. And 7 together with 13...
What's your name, sister?
Ortha May Quest. O-R-F-A-M-A-Y. Ortha May.
Ortha May.
I live with my mother. Well, my father died 4 years ago. He was a doctor. My brother Orrin was going to be one, too. He did 2 years in medical school, but he changed to engineering. And then a year ago, he came out here to work for the Cal Western Company in Bay City.
Bay City.
And he wrote to us regularly, every week. Only the letter stopped 4 months ago. Mother got worried, and I had my vacation, and I came out here to see him. Aren't you going to take any notes?
I'll make the gags. You tell the story. I take it you didn't find Brother Orrin?
His address was 449 Idaho Street. It's a very tough neighborhood. At least I thought it was. And the manager of the rooming house was very drunk and very unpleasant. Maybe you don't know Bay City, Mr. Marlowe.
All I know about Bay City is that every time I go there, I have to buy a new head. Shall I finish your story? He's moved and left no address. And you're afraid he's living a life of sin in a penthouse with something in a long mink coat. Or am I being too coarse?
If Orrin heard you say that, he'd be sorry. He can be awfully mean. But he's not the sort to do the things you say. Something has happened to him. I called the company and they said he'd been laid off some time ago. Maybe he's had an accident.
Did it occur to you to ask the police?
Orin would never forgive me. Our family is not that kind of family. How much would you charge to find him, Mr. Marlowe? You see, all I can afford... Well, I've still got meals to buy and my hotel to pay and then the trip back home and it all adds up. We don't have much money. Mother says the church needs it much more than we do.
Maybe I'd be doing Orin more of a favor if I didn't find him. How much can you afford?
$20.
Describe him to me.
28. Light brown hair, he brushes straight back. Light blue eyes. And he's very tall, over 6 feet. But thin. Sort of bony. And he had a little blonde mustache, but Mother made him cut it off, because she said...
I know. The minister needed it to stuff a cushion.
No. Don't talk like that about my mother.
Does Orin have any distinguishing marks, like the 23rd Psalm tattooed on his chest?
Here's a photograph of him.
What does he do for fun?
He takes photographs. Candid photographs of people when they don't know he's doing it. He says people ought to see themselves as they really are.
Let's hope it never happens to him. What kind of camera does he use?
A little one. Works in any kind of light. A Leica, that's it.
Well, I'll get down to Bay City and take a look for you. Where's the $20?
Do I have to pay you now?
I'll give you a receipt.
10, 5, and 5, 20. I don't need a receipt.
I do. With your name and address on it.
I can't give you my address.
Well, at least sign your name. Here. Why can't you give me your address?
What would Orin say?
I don't know. What would he say?
I'll come back.
Make it around 4 o'clock. I might have something then.
I do hope Mother won't think I've done wrong coming to you.
I'll tell you what. I'll put the whole $20 in the safe. Your mother wouldn't like the idea of me running around loose with that much currency on me.
I think you're very nice. Goodbye.
Hey, open up.
Are you the manager of this rooming house?
Yeah. What gives?
The manager.
Excuse me.
Let me hold you up, huh?
Must be I'm kind of a little bit drunky.
Oh, you're not bad. You're still breathing.
Give me a slug of gin. I'm not happy.
Try sitting down.
Yeah. Gin.
Gin.
Where am I?
Sitting down.
How did that happen? Who are you?
I'm looking for Orin P. Quest.
Moved away.
Moved away when?
Another slug of gin.
Sure.
Gimme. Hey, gimme.
Wouldn't you rather have one of these homemade cigarettes you got lying around?
Gin.
All I want is the present whereabouts of Orin P. Quest.
Just think of that.
Here's your gin. Where's the register?
Beat it. I got friends.
Is this it? Beside the account books? None of my business what you sell here.
Yeah.
I just want Quest, who was in room 214.
Couple of boys. Take care of you. You don't believe me? Damn. 1, 3, 5, 7, 2. Let me talk to the doc. Vince! The doc! Hey! Hey, hung up.
Where's the bottle?
Here. Yeah.
Just let me lie down. Yeah. You give it to me.
Yeah.
You're my pal.
I'm your pal. Just give me the passkey, pal. To room 214. Pal.
Hey, hold it.
Oh, I beg your pardon. The manager told me this room was vacant.
You could try knocking.
Oh, why would I if it was vacant?
Don't get tough with me.
What do you do with people who get tough with you? Hit them with your toupee?
Lay off my toupee. You should have knocked. I would have had time to put it on.
Don't let me stop you. I thought this was vacant since Orin left. Why are you here?
I was in 215. This is a better room.
So you're Hicks.
How'd you know that?
It's in the register. 215, below 214. I noticed it. George W. Hicks. If you have a blackboard, I'll write it out for you.
Oh, I'm slow today. You're a dick. What kind, city?
Private. Here's the card.
Okay, what's the beef?
I have to find Orin P.
Can't help you. Moved out 10 days ago. I'm a careful guy myself. That's why I'm going, too.
Or maybe you don't like reefer smoke.
That and other things. Quest was a respectable type, like me. And maybe a couple of hard boys threw a scare into him.
Why?
You mentioned marijuana, not me. He was the type might go to the cops.
In Bay City? Why would he bother? What's your racket?
Me?
Yeah, how do you make your dibs?
I'm a retired optometrist.
That way you have a .45 in the suitcase?
It's been in the family for years. Just like the one under your arm. What kind of work do you do?
Anything that's reasonably honest?
Reasonably is a word you could stretch.
So is honest. Thanks for your time. I went all the way across the hall to 215 and used the pass key. It was empty. I listened. In 2 minutes, Hicks was on his way. When I went downstairs, Hicks was gone. The manager, Clausen, lay on the couch, dead to the world. The account books showed payments that weren't for rooms, which made me think of Doc or Vince at 13572. You don't often hear silence in a city, but all of a sudden I could hear silence everywhere. Something was different. The drunk should have been snoring his head off. The reason he wasn't was because someone had driven an ice pick with a wooden handle into the back of his neck. I didn't exceed the speed limit getting away from there, and I didn't give my name to the Bay City cops when I called to report the murder. It took me 15 minutes with the phone book to find the party that went with 13572. Dr. Vincent Lagardi, who called himself a neurologist. I dialed the number and told him the news. He expressed complete surprise. I hung up before he asked my name. It was 4 o'clock.
Well, did you find Orin?
All I could find was that the dump was peddling reefers. Marijuana.
Ugh, how disgusting.
Yeah. Orin must have found out, and then he was scared away.
Is that all you did all day? Find Orin had moved and it was a bad neighborhood? Why, Mr. Marlowe, I found that out for myself. I paid you $20, Mr. Marlowe, for a day's work.
You can have it back. I didn't even bruise it.
I didn't mean it like that.
I don't know why I started this. I was bored. I wondered what you might look like without your glasses. I thought I might like your eyes. It certainly wasn't because I believed you, sister. Why don't you stop lying and tell me the truth?
I have told you.
You've told me nothing. Your brother stopped writing 4 months ago. But you and your precious mother wait till now to start asking questions. And you don't ask the police. Now, maybe Orin is the black sheep of the family.
If you're insinuating that Orin has done something wrong, I can assure you he hasn't. It's not Orin who's the black sheep of our family.
Who is? You? Not your mother.
No. It's none of your business.
I can find out if you have another brother or sister.
I have a sister, Leela. She lives here in Los Angeles, but we don't talk about her. Mother doesn't allow it. And Orin wouldn't contact her. She's nothing to do with us anymore.
Okay. Did Orin always live at Idaho Street?
Yes.
Anything unusual in his last letter?
No.
So for 4 months, your dear mother sits there darning the minister's underwear till your summer vacation comes around and you come out here. Come on, what are you really worried about, Orphame? And where are you staying?
I can't tell you.
Afraid I'll turn up there one night with a quart of hooch under my arm?
Why are you always rude?
Take off your glasses, Orphame.
I can't.
Then let me. Without them, your eyes are really something.
I suppose you do this to all your women clients.
Yeah. Stand up.
I might lose my balance.
Stand up.
In Manhattan, Kansas, you could be arrested for this.
Did you learn that in Manhattan?
They play kissing games at the church socials. I'm sorry I was mean.
I'm sorry I was mean.
Will you keep the $20?
You'll get a day's work for it.
Find Orin for me, please.
Where are you staying, Orpha May?
No, I'll call you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Damn. Yeah?
Marlowe?
Yeah.
This is Hicks. I'm in a jam. I need help. I need something kept in a safe place for a few days. For that, you make a little quick money.
How little? How quick?
$100. He's waiting here for you.
Where's here?
Room 322, Van Nuys Hotel. Not too quick and too slow. Make speed, Marlowe.
I'll run all the way.
Close the door, mister. Keep your head turned away. Take one pace forward. Don't ever think I'm fooling. I know how to use this gun.
Is that what you did to Hicks on the bed?
Don't look around. Step forward.
Okay. I like your voice. I... Nice voice is gone. Now, if I was a smart detective, I would follow the minute trail of blood, my blood, on the heel of her shoe. But I'm just old and have spent my life looking in the rooms of cheap hotels. Last known to me is George W. Hicks. How did you die, George? Why, an ice pick. A very expert ice pick job, puncturing the spinal cord in one. Neat. What did you want me to keep for you, George? Must have been small. They've searched everywhere here and don't seem to have found it. Coat linings, inside the telephone, even the toothpaste tube, under the carpet, even your hat. Now, where would I hide something small if I were you, George? I'd keep it under my hat. They didn't know you were bald. Are they ready?
Yes, Mr. Hicks. They're here, Mr. Hicks.
What time does the camera shop close?
We close at 5:30 in a couple of minutes.
I'll call in the morning. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Under his wig had been taped a claim check for a Bay City camera shop. So that's what was worth money to him. I'd looked through his wallet. He had no real identification, just business cards in the name of Dr. G.W. Hambleton and $164 in currency. Nothing to show why the photos were important. I put the claim check in an envelope, addressed it to myself, special delivery, and mailed it. Then I went to see the house detective, a man named Flack, who passed his tired days looking for an extra buck.
Are you back again?
Dr. Hambleton doesn't answer his door.
So?
You got me his registration, remember, before I went up to see him?
Yeah. I did it for nothing, too.
I knocked several times. No answer.
Well, what should I do? Bust my girdle?
The door wasn't locked. Want to see a nice ice pick job?
Oh, Christ. I'm off at 7. Couldn't you have waited? I guess it's call the cops time.
It's not your fault. It even happens in good hotels.
So, you come up and you unlock the door, Flack.
Yeah, with the passkey.
You unlock it and you come in and it's just like Marlowe here said?
That's it. Now, you know, Lieutenant, I figure an ice pick job's a dame's work.
Yeah, well, leave us to the thinking, huh, sweetheart? Hey, Lieutenant, whoever did the search used cheap cotton gloves, no prints.
Ice pick jobs are a specialty. Now, you need to know how to hit the spinal cord. This is an expert job. Remember Sonny Mo Stein, Marlowe?
I remember him.
His boys worked that technique back in Brooklyn. It got so you couldn't walk across a vacant lot without finding some of their handiwork. And they come out here, what was left of them. I wonder why.
Maybe we have more vacant lots.
It's a funny thing, though. When Weepy Moyer had the chill put on Sonny Moe over on Franklin Avenue last February, the killer used a gun. Sonny Moe wouldn't have liked that.
Hey, who's this Weepy Moyer?
He was next to Stein in the organization. This
could be his work.
Not personally, of course.
What, this? A gangland killing? In my hotel?
Why not? Not that I can prove anything. Mr. Moyer has another name now, and he's a gentleman. Knows the nicest people. No, nobody calls him Weepy. And he was even safe in our jail when Stein was killed.
What charge?
A gambling rap back in Cleveland. Turned out they didn't want him. But we gave him a sweet alibi.
We didn't even prove the guy we had was Moyer.
He was, I swear.
I don't know what to make of this G.W. Hambleton. It's a phony name. He has no identity, no driver's license, car keys, nothing. And he's definitely not in the chips, only $14 in his wallet. How much did he offer you, Marlo?
$100. Said it was waiting.
He was lying.
What, he wanted you to keep something for him, Marlo?
Yeah, I don't know what or why.
We'll leave this for the technical boys. That's all.
Not quite. It's a neat toupee, but it's still a wig.
Smart. Hey, I didn't notice that. Take it off, Bayfus. Well, well.
All I see is a guy with no hair.
Maybe you never knew him. He used to be a runner for the DeVore mob. Hence he was called Mile Away Marston. A very cheap grifter. Well, that's a load off my mind. This will be no 24-hour-a-day job. To hell with the punk. Let's go.
I let them leave and then put a simple proposition to Flack. Hicks had $164 when I searched him, and $14 when the cops did. Okay, he could keep the dough if he described the dame. She was no dame. She was a lady. I had been hit on the head by a movie star called Mavis Weld. I bought her private phone number from a props man at the studio for $10, called and said I was being sent over by the studios with some photographs. A Mexican accent told me to come up.
Miss Weld, please.
You can give me the stills, amigo.
Oh, for Miss Weld, personally. Sorry.
She's taking a bath.
I'll wait.
Are you sure you have the stills? I don't see any package, amigo.
Oh, I'm sure.
What sort of photographs are they? What is your name?
Miss Gonzalez, I thought your last picture was wonderful.
But it was positively goddamn stinking, you lovely man.
Nothing with you in it stinks for me, Miss Gonzalez.
Come in. We will have a drink. I adore flattery, however dishonest. Mavis, darling, a man is here who says he is from the studio. Muy simpático. Scotch, amigo?
Thanks.
You may call me Dolores. What may I call you? Not that it matters what you tell me, since it'll be just another lie. Are you a rapist?
No.
But you like to do the difficult things in life, no? I must try to be less approachable, But I can't fight my nature. Here's your drink, you sweet son of a bitch. I live at the Chateau Bercy on Franklin Avenue.
Gosh. Alone?
Now, what is in your wallet, amigo? What is your name? Well, a license. Philip Marlowe, private investigator. What do you wish to investigate here, amigo?
So glad to see you two got acquainted.
Oh.
I didn't know you bothered to find out their names, Dolores.
At least I haven't been sleeping with any gunmen.
Are you sure you could remember? I was hoping you'd be gone.
I'm leaving. See you again, Philip Marlowe. I hope those stills aren't too expensive.
Suppose you do the same, Dreamboat. Make with the feet.
I came here on business, Miss Wells.
I can imagine. I don't know you. I don't want to know you. And even if I did, this wouldn't be the day or the hour.
If you're going to stand that close to me, maybe you'd better put more on than a gown.
Wouldn't you really rather I took it off like this?
I don't go after every pair of legs I see.
Did I hurt you?
Yeah.
Good, now get out.
I might just happen to be working for you, Miss Wells.
Oh, I thought I'd seen all the approaches. And if I can't scare you, beat you, or seduce you, what the hell can I buy you with? Money, of course. How damn stupid of me to overlook that.
Money would help.
Fix me a drink. Scotch.
Sure.
How much money?
$100 would do to start with.
Is $100 money in your circle, darling?
I'll make it 200. I could retire on that.
Every week, of course, in a nice, clean envelope.
Your drink.
And what would I get for this money, my darling gumshoe?
You'd get a receipt.
You cheap grifter. I'm sorry I missed you. And that, I believe, has used up my entire stock of girlish charm.
The money would be just a retainer for me to represent you. I never thought you killed Hambleton. But it would help to know why you were in that hotel.
I wouldn't give you Carthair.
Look, you're going to find this hard to believe. But I had the quaint idea that you might be a girl who needed some help. Because you went to that hotel room to make a payoff. Because you had to take the risk of being recognized. And were recognized. It made me think you were in one of those Hollywood jams that really mean curtains. And all you give me is B pictures.
All I see is a blackmailer.
Okay, you don't need anybody. You're smart. You're so smart. Okay, I'm wasting my time. You don't need me. Goodbye, sister. Outside, I walked into her boyfriend, her door key ready in his hand. He was very charming. He said his name was Steelgrave. What the hell business was it of mine? Who was I cutting my throat for? Slow down, Marlowe. You're not human tonight. Hollywood used to be a quiet town until the hoodlums moved out from New York and Cleveland. Now it was dirty money and sex and scandal and lost little people looking for a share of the glamour. What the hell had all that to do with me? But even movie stars have families, and I had found two dead men. That made it my business.
That was part one of The Little Sister by Raymond Chandler, dramatized for radio by Bill Morrison, with Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. Production for the BBC was by John Tiedemann.